as we gather tonight to come around God's word, let us do so with the confidence that it is He that speaks with us, and it is His word alone that will encourage us and strengthen us in His service. Let us therefore read, and I want to read from a prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 41. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 41. The Lord is dealing with His people and is going to raise up the Assyrians from the north, a nation that is going to come and sweep over not only Israel but many of the nations round about, and is going to be the instrument in God's hand to bring His people into exile, that they would learn the hard way perhaps that the Lord is a jealous God and will not tolerate sin in those who are His people. Isaiah chapter 41 then. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near to gather to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it's ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. And I want us to think of that verse 13, but especially verse 10, where the same sentiment is expressed. And we can read verse 13 again. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When we think of, first of all, coming to be a Christian, we see everything that we've built around us, perhaps for year after year, being shaken to the core, cracking and falling apart. When God's word gets loose inside your soul and mine, then we begin to tremble. All that we thought that was stable and substantial begins to disintegrate round about us. And God's word begins to shake, begins to stick, begins to frighten us. And the only place that we can go to for rest and for peace, the only person that can speak words that will give us that peace, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only at that level ground before the cross that we will find peace for our soul when God begins to work in us. And that peace, the peace that Jesus gives and brings, is so precious and so valuable. That gift bought by his death upon the cross. We have rest. We have peace. And from that point onwards, sometimes we can think that, well, that's it. All of the fears and all of the anxieties are over. It's going to be a quiet life from now on. No. So often in the Christian's life, fears do come upon us. Sometimes we walk along a hard road carrying a heavy load. Sometimes we walk underneath a dark cloud. There are phases, there are stages in the Christian's life when we are walking in a shadowy place. Just to take one example, the prophet Hezekiah. Now we all remember Hezekiah later on in Isaiah, because he was the one that turned his face to the wall and prayed, and the Lord extended his life for 15 years. But if you go to the book of 2 Chronicles and chapter 32, you find that something else happens to Hezekiah, because we are told there that God tested Hezekiah. He tested him to see just how he would walk with God. God, as it were, withdrew a little bit from him to see how he would walk along the road. These are the phases of the stages that come into the Christian's life. Sometimes when that happens to us, sometimes we come a little bitty afraid. And sometimes we become a little bitty fearful. And these experiences that come upon God's people, God knows about. And therefore he deals with them. God forbids that we should be afraid. That's what he says here. Fear thou not. And it's a command that God gives us, and he supports it with the most powerful of arguments that I want us to think of tonight. God's desire for his people is that they should walk in joy. They should know the rest and the peace of salvation in Jesus Christ his Son. And anything that threatens that experience, anything that comes to put a wedge between us and these God-given blessings, God addresses severely. He deploys strong arguments against them to banish them from our life. Carol was speaking about Isaiah 43 a moment ago. Go back to it in the light of what I've just said. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. What does he say? Fear not. And listen to the wave after wave of argument that he deploys there. He says, fear not. Why should I? Why should I fear not? Listen to it. I have redeemed you. I have called you. You are mine. Fear not. God recognized it as a threat and a danger in the Christian's life. And here he is deploying argument after argument after argument to take it away, because it has no right nor dwelling in the Christian's life or soul. Here God sets out the relationship he has with his people. They are mine. They have privileges, and God will not tolerate anything that spoils or mars or robs his people of these privileges. And one of the things that comes time and again against you and me, sometimes we feel afraid. And when that happens, God comes right beside us, like this word tonight to us. To you, perhaps. You've carried a thought here to this meeting, and you know no one else knows about it. And you may be feeling just a little bit afraid. This is God's word for you tonight. I want us, therefore, to look at it. First first of all, let's just take it as a command. God has spoken, and he says it, fear thou not. The history here is, the Assyrian nation, like I said before we started our reading, the Assyrian nation were going to be raised up from the north, and they were come against God's people. They were on the war path, and God was going to use them to chastise his people and to take them into exile. And the shadow of their coming cast a dark, dark shadow over God's people. And we read there about the effect of this Assyrians on other nations. The Isles saw it. They were afraid. Those that were pagans, what did they do? They rushed to their idols and they created more idols. And they made not out of wood, but they made them out of silver and gold. And they says, oh, these idols will save us. And God says, no. You, Israel, you are my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen. This is God speaking to his people in the face of these circumstances of life that are going to overwhelm them and come upon them. Circumstances that are going to come upon you and overwhelm you. There's going to be a huge wave crashing in upon the shore of your life, maybe, like it was crashing in on them. And God is saying to them, before it comes, as he speaks to you and me before it comes, fear not. You are my servant. That's the relationship God has established. Look at the involvement of God. He says, I have taken you from the ends of the earth. I've called you. I've said unto you, I have chosen you. I have not cast you off. Where else can you get stronger indications of God's involvement, God's commitment to his people? What a comfort these words are. God's relationship, and in that relationship he's established with his people, he says, don't be afraid. Yes, when God is at work, when God is at work bringing judgment upon his people, when God is at work bringing judgment upon us as a nation, if we have reason to be afraid and scared, so let it be. Let us be afraid. Let us be scared. If we have been treating God with indifference or indulging in sin, that is God dealing with us and correcting us. But if the reason have been dealt with, if we're at peace with God through Jesus Christ, then God is saying to us, no matter what circumstances come upon your life, as upon them, God is saying to them and to us, fear not. No matter how circumstances change, no matter what develops with the election, no matter what develops in the economic situation that is unfolding, no matter what happens in any other country where there's war or tensions or things like that on the international scene, no turn of event, personal and very private to yourself, things that you're thinking of tomorrow or next week that are there like a big wave about to crash upon you, God is saying, if you are mine, fear not. Your faith is unflappable. That's what he says. So I want just, if that's the command God gives, that's the principle. Yes, but principles are just words. Minister, give me something I can identify with. Preacher, show me something that has flesh and blood about it. So let's do that. Go back to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15 at the very beginning. There is Abraham. He is the one given the promise of a mighty nation to be his or to follow on from him. And Abraham is there afraid because he's childless. And what's this fear based on? God has given a promise to me. But this promise isn't going to be fulfilled. And Abraham was afraid of a promise given that was not going to be fulfilled. It's going to collapse. What God has said isn't going to happen. He was afraid. And God counters it and he says, fear not. I am your God. When you and I have a promise from God, and it doesn't look as if it's going to be fulfilled. When you and I have a promise from God, and we might be looking at it like Abraham is looking at it, and we're scared, Lord, where is it? When is it going to be fulfilled? God is perfectly able, and God's perfect timing will bring to pass exactly what he has said when he requires it. Sometimes when we've got promises from God, we look at our own circumstances and we say, well, doesn't look as if it's going to happen there. Doesn't look as if it's going to happen here. And we sometimes get tunnel vision, looking only at human sources. And there is God speaking to Abraham and he says, I am your God. The relationship. Don't be afraid. Genesis 15. Another one. What about Deuteronomy chapter 31? Moses is about to die. He knows it. And he's going to prepare Joshua to take over the leadership. He's going to hand the mantle on to Joshua. And Joshua is going to lead them into the land of promise. And here he is. He's going on and he's going to face the unknown. And Joshua is going to face it alone. Up till now, he's always been number two to Moses. Up till now, Moses has always been there. Up till now, Moses has always been there to give him guidance, a nudge, an indication of whatever he should be doing. But now, it's Joshua that's going to be top. And he's going to face the future. And he's going to face it and he's going to lead the people. And that can easily make people scared. Facing the unknown. You and I, facing the unknown. It can instill dread and fear and can intimidate us. But again, God comes into that situation with Joshua. And he says to Joshua, and he says to you and me as we face the unknown, and we've got to face it alone, and there's no one there to help us. And there was once somebody there to help us. We're now on our own. And God says, fear not. Another one. Joshua chapter 10 this time. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 25. And here they are, and they've got to fight as a nation against the enemy that's round about them. Powerful, ruthless enemies. They've got to face a nation that is going to be persistently after them to smother them, to wipe them out and destroy them. And here is a nation. And they're conscious of their limitations. They're only a little gathering of tribes of people. And they're afraid. The same way as you and I. We're out there in society and we're living in a society that is hostile. And as soon as you mention anything of Christ, they come at you with hostility, persecution, opposition, and they're going to make life difficult for you. And as soon as you stand and speak for the name of the Lord, they'll ignore you, they'll put you to Coventry, and they'll laugh at you, they'll scorn at you, and such like. Yes, we know what that means. That kind of opposition that they knew as a little tribe going forward in God's will. Yes, we can identify, and God says to them in that century, as God says to us in this century, fear not. There's a beautiful text. I'm not going to go on to it. I'll just mention it to you. Exodus chapter 14:14. There they were, God's people. They came out of Egypt. They were being chased by the Egyptians. On one side there was the mountains. And behind them there was the Egyptians. And in front of them there was the sea. And can you imagine how they were scared? Oh yes, they were scared. And God says to them, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. God is with you. The command that he gives. You can go through other places of Scripture. Let's just leave these examples at that for the moment. God's promise. A promise that he sets before you and me. The land of promise given to the people. The land of promise given to us. And as we look upon the journey and the journey we've got to get there, sometimes we can be filled with fears as well. And God speaks and he says to you and me tonight, fear not. So if that's the command, why and what are the reasons that God gives? Because God never commands anything and never lays an obligation upon us to do something without giving us a reason. Sometimes people will say to us, go on, do it. And they won't give you a reason for it. But God never deals with us like that. He says, he spoke to them in the New Testament. He says, fear not, I'm with you. Your sins are forgiven. And so on, be at peace, and so on. God always supports what he commands with a reason. And there we have it also. He says, fear not. Why? Two reasons quickly. I am with you. I am your God. God's word, dispelling the doubt and the darkness and the dread that comes upon God's people from time to time. And it's important, the word order in the Hebrew behind this verse. The word order is like this. With you, I am. That's what God is saying in this verse. With you, I am. And he's emphasizing his presence with his people. God is no distant Lord. God is no far off king of his people. He's one that's interested, committed, present with his own. There is no greater riches that we can have. There is nothing more precious that we look for than God's presence with us. So he gives us the command, fear not. And he underwrites it with two simple things. He says, I am with you. He tells us first of all about the assurance of his presence. The assurance of his presence. He fulfills the promises. He guides us and leads us through all the strange experiences. We're not alone. We're all familiar, are we not, with the words of the footprints in the sand. And there the writer turns around and he says, yes, look at these one set of footprints. You abandoned me. You left me to go on my own. And God turns around and says, no, you weren't on your own. That's when I carried you. I was with you. I kept you when you weren't even able to walk. We saw it again there in chapter 43, verse 2 this time. God has already established the relationship with his people. He goes on to say, okay, what does that mean? Break it down. What does that mean in life today? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. All of these things, the threats, the dangers that are coming in life against you and me, God says, don't be afraid of them. Why? Because of the assurance of his presence with his people. What a great comfort that is. That's what marks us out as different. People today, there's so much apathy, so much complacency. People are laid back and you, oh, so what? Oh, so what? And we've got to show the difference when trouble comes our way that we can cope. That we are not swamped. That we don't go down like they go down. But we are somebody different. Why? Because we've got the Lord and we know him for ourselves. Paul, there at the end of Romans chapter 8, he's standing upon a great... Ben Nevis. I look out on it every day. He's there standing on a pinnacle. And he sees all of society and all of human experience going past him. And he stands on this pinnacle in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, and he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" And then he counts off all the different contenders, life or death, principalities or powers, things present, things above, things below the earth, and so on and so on. And every time he puts up, he ums up with the same answer, "No, no, no, not one of them is he able to separate God's people from God himself." The assurance of his presence. Ah, but wait a minute. Sometimes that's exactly the fear that I've got. Go onward in the same book, Isaiah chapter 49. Verse 14. Maybe that's what we're saying tonight. "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me." Is that the echo in your life tonight? God has forsaken me. God has forgotten me. And listen to what he says. He's using here the image that is the most tender and compassionate of all human experiences. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Well, sad to say, we know in reality of these days, sometimes a mother does. Sometimes she treats a child abysmally. And sometimes the child dies. Yes, it is possible. But is it possible with God to forget his own? No, that's just impossible. He will not forget his own. The assurance of his presence, "I will not forget thee, I am with you." But what else does he say? That's only one reason. He says, yes, the assurance of his presence. He goes on and he says, "I am," what else? He says, "I am your God." God's commitment of all of his resources towards you. God's power, God's might, God's wisdom, God's grace, the fullness of his character. Remember what he says, "You are my people and I am your God." The fullness of God's character given and committed to the safety and the success and the survival of his people. He was a wall of fire around them in the Old Testament. We lack nothing. We lack nothing as we trust and rely upon God. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes we live a meager life. Sometimes we live a life on scrimp rations. Sometimes we live a life and we're just hardly in the light at all. But if we're like that, the fault is not with God. The fault is often with ourselves. Because here God is saying, "I am your God. I will be to you everything that I am and everything you expect me to be. And for that reason, don't be afraid." Yes, the command, supported with these two reasons. Lastly, what's the comfort that he gives to us here? The consequence, what's the application? He says, "I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And every one of these, it starts with this two simple words, "I will." Now, sometimes we say that, "Yes, I will." And sometimes, what do you say? You promise in haste and you repent at leisure. Sometimes we say it and we say, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that." Because we've tied ourselves in to do something. God never speaks like that. God says and speaks quite deliberately. When God says it, God means it. And there is, like we said, I am your God. There is the commitment of all of God's power behind what he says. Sometimes we make a commitment. Yes, and we say we're going to do this. Or maybe it's something in the house. Maybe it's a DIY task. Maybe it's something that we've planned on doing. And yes, I'm going to do it. And then we start it. We don't have the ability. We don't have the gifts. There's something lacking and we cannot perform what we've promised to do. It never applies to God. God is almighty. And that power and might is committed to his people. And again, you know, sometimes we say we'll do this and maybe two or three weeks down the line, maybe a month down the line, we've changed our mind. I'm going back on it. God never goes back in what he says. Romans 11:29, is it? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God does not change. The tremendous comfort we have here, God's promise, the way in which it is. The old we have a saying, don't we? It's copper bottomed. You know where that came from? The old boats, George Henry VIII and so on, they were copper bottomed to stop the beasts of the sea eating into the woodwork. It protected them and made them last longer. The promises of God are copper bottomed. They're protected from decay and they last. What God says, God does. Three simple things and I'm finished. He says, I will strengthen you. Whatever demands come upon you as a Christian, whatever you're called to serve the Lord, whatever service he requires of you, God is equal to it and he will strengthen you. I will help you. Whenever need comes, whatever variety that need might be, we need wisdom. We need encouragement. We need comfort. We need grace. There's somebody annoying me at work. There's somebody that I meet every day and they're like a grain of sand upon me and they're just grinding it into me. Lord, I need the grace to go on meeting that person. And God says, I'll help you. We're not left to fight or fend for ourselves. God's strength and grace and all of the qualities that we need for our Christian life, God commits to us. I will strengthen you. I will help you. He says also, I will uphold you. But notice he says, with the right hand of my righteousness. God will keep us from stumbling and will keep us pure and holy. And God will sustain us. Oh yes, the devil's going to come and he's going to open the skeleton of the cupboard of your life and he's going to drag out all the skeletons. Oh, look at that, what you did. And it's another one. And look at that. And the devil's going to rake up the coals of your life to burn them up. And the devil's going to go fishing in your life. And here God is saying, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. God is going to protect his people, embracing them as a child in his arms and overshadowing them with his wings. And he will keep his own people safe. The right hand is a symbol of power. Exodus 6:5. God says, I will save you. God will save his people. How? With a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. A mighty hand, first of all, you think of these weightlifters. When you put their hand like that, you can see the muscles rippling. Yes, they've got a mighty hand, but that's not enough. It's all very well having the strength, but what about the strength out to work? And he says, an outstretched arm. And that's power going to work. God's power operating, saving, keeping his people. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. He stands by his people. He enables them to survive. He enables us to go on. No matter what the wave of life that's going to break on the shores of your life tomorrow, whatever's waiting round the corner next week, whatever is going to suddenly confront you, suddenly in circumstance or setting or character, whatever it be, God says, you're mine. Therefore, fear not. Why? I'm with you. I'm your God. And what will God do? He will uphold us. He will help us. He will strengthen us. But this last word, these promises and this comfort applies only to those described in verse 8. Thou art Israel, my servant. And if we have not committed ourselves to the Lord, then it's hands off. Everything I've said tonight does not apply to you. This is the inheritance of the Lord, and it belongs only to God's people. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, you first of all got to find him for yourself, because it's only then do these words come and apply to you. You've got to make your peace with God. Only then can you possess the inheritance that he has purchased. And part of that inheritance is the expulsion of fear. And in its place there comes serenity, tranquility, rest. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. Amen.